New Balance recently announced the addition of All-American Cooper Flagg to the NB family, joining Cameron Brink and an elite player roster in the brand's mission of growing the game with the next generation of athletes. In part of New Balance's ongoing commitment to supporting athletes off the court, the Boston-based brand plans to work with Cooper on community initiatives in his home state of Maine. To shop the two-way V5, Hesse Low V2, and all New Balance basketball products, visit newbalance.com today.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/redcircle.
You're listening to Broncos for Breakfast with Nick Kendall and Scott Kennedy.
Welcome in, welcome in. Give it a second to breathe. It is a Victory Monday. Hello, everybody. Welcome in, welcome in. This is Broncos for Breakfast. I am Nick Kendall. Scott is not joining us live today on camera. He is under the weather, so hopefully be feeling better for Wednesday's show. It's too bad because we have a first time this year, Scott, a double victory. No, we added this last week as well, but Victory Monday. Good to see that the Falcons beat the Saints in incredible fashion, and the Broncos go up to East Rutherford, New Jersey, and come out with a sloppy, gutsy, ugly, whatever you want to call it. The only word that matters on that end is win. Denver comes out with a win in New Jersey against Aaron Rodgers and the New York Jets, 10-9. And boy, howdy, I feel like I don't know how much more of these kind of games I can take as a fan of both the Iowa Hawkeyes and the Denver Broncos. But you know what? At the end of the day, a win is a win is a win is a win. And Denver comes out on top. They enter this road trip on the East Coast, 0-2. Feels like the season is about to get totally off the rails. And Denver's historically been horrible in Florida. They're good in Tampa. They must just be absolutely dreadful in September against Miami and Jacksonville, because their record in September in the state of Florida is terrible. But they go to Florida, they beat the brakes of the Bucks, who looked pretty darn good against the Eagles yesterday. And then they go to New York, a Jets team that had an extra 3 days to prepare after beating the lowly Patriots. And man, what a performance by the defense. Hats off to Vance Joseph, and the offense does just enough to win. So I'm not going to be here to blow you-know-what up your you-know-where. The offense was not good. Bo Nix was not good, but good enough on this Sunday, in the very least, because at the end of the day, it's about winning football games. Jasmine's coming in here, 999, says, thank God. Always love to hear from Jasmine. Jasmine, hope you're doing well. I know it's definitely much better in your household with the Falcons and the Broncos winning, so spirits are high out there in Atlanta. Hopefully anybody out there on the East Coast listening, not impacted by that horrific hurricane that traveled up, just unbelievable. So I know that Scott, and I was kind of sending out good vibes for him, and didn't sound like he got hit too bad by that. So hopefully you're okay as well, obviously here. And thank God we have you here this morning. Great to see you, Jasmine. Always really love hearing from you on Twitter as well. Michael comes in and says, good morning, Nick, on Broncos for Breakfast. Go, Bo Broncos. Go, Michael. Always appreciate you coming in as well. Let's say hello to some more folks in the chat. If you haven't done so yet, we obviously just waking up, you know, getting that coffee brewing, maybe driving the kids to school or daycare or whatever. Please hit the thumbs up on the way in. Like, subscribe, and all that as well. But if you guys are feeling a little generous and you know, like these morning shows coming in, make sure you super chat like Jasmine and Michael have so far this morning. First, we got Donald Willison in here talking about it's great to see Aaron Rodgers running for his life. Yeah, the defense was awesome in this one. We got Dominique coming in, says mile high salute to Vance Joseph. Who'd have thought, right? We're coming off of a year ago. It was that Denver's first win, but a horrific one for defensively, where Justin Fields looked like a freaking superstar, and Denver wins a very, very close one on the road against the very poor Bears team that season. And coming off that week 3 game, was week 3 last year, right, where Denver gave up 70 points to the Dolphins. What a turnaround. What a turnaround. We're a year away from Rex Ryan calling out the Broncos on defense and historically bad defensive numbers. Here we are. Who'd have thought? Look at us. Who'd have thought, right? The Broncos now one of the best defenses in football. Now, granted, the sample size is still small, folks. I'm really boring. I know that. But, like, a lot of your big data metrics, like, still very dependent on who you have played, right? So Denver, they haven't gone against, outside of Tampa Bay, who they smothered, but most of the teams they've gone against haven't been awesome offensively. Seahawks are actually pretty good. But it's not like they've played a gauntlet of murderers row for the defense with offense opponents. But the offense has played a pretty darn tough slate of defenses. So hopefully those will normalize. It looks like Denver's, the teams they're going to play defensively are going to drop in quality a good bit going forward here. And hopefully we can see a little bit more offensive competency. But do want to talk, obviously, with the offense. But first, we want to say hello to Quentin Caldwell coming in. $5. Good to see you, Quentin. Hope you're doing well. Happy Victory Monday to you. Great to see you. Jeremy comes in. Jeremy, are you wearing that Bo Nix? Did you wear the Bo Nix jersey to bed last night? I know that we got our resident Bo Nix believer. Everybody, most people in Broncos country are now, but even dating before that, Jeremy was a ride or die for Bo. So pulling for him, Jeremy, pulling for you. It was the 3rd and 11 pass from Bo to Sutton that really broke open that touchdown drive. Might be Bo's best pass so far. That was the one over the middle of the field. I believe they had the first drive. I don't think they scored a touchdown where Bo was on the move and had a good pass. The announcer was like, and they haven't even gotten Sutton involved. And then next, as he was saying that, Sutton got a big pass. But yeah, Bo, that drive, leading into that drive, it was an 87-yard touchdown drive. Denver was 0-for-9 on third down entering that drive. And Denver goes 3-for-3 on third down, including the third and 11. And they just found a way to get it done. Now, even the touchdown pass where Courtland Sutton was wide open was a little hairier than it needed to be, right? It was a little scary there. I'm glad Sutton was able to bring it down despite being wide open. But Nix obviously struggled with the elements, but got it going enough, especially on that drive, to score that touchdown and help Denver win the game. And one thing I did want to talk about, so we'll talk about the defense here soon because we have to talk about the defense. They have been so good through four games. But Bo Nix, it was a bad game, without a doubt. -7 yards in the first half. I mean, it looked, they weren't even close. Some of the throws were not even close in that first half. Now, the elements played a factor. They were hurting Aaron Rodgers as well. Not to the same extent. Obviously, an incompletion is an incompletion, but a lot of the passes from Nix weren't even close. Just look really weird to me, which is shocking for a guy who played in the elements at Oregon. Granted, they don't get the heavy rainstorms as much on the West Coast. That's kind of the secret of the PNW, right? It rains a lot, but not like heavy rain very often. At least out here in Seattle. And Nix just really struggled in the elements. They could not grip the football, just uncomfortable. But not here just to pile on him. It was a bad game, no doubt, from Nix. But he did two things in this that I think are really just, they're small, but they're also very big in the end and might directly lead to the win. He avoided the massive, catastrophic negative plays. Bo Nix took 0 sacks. He turned the ball over 0 times. Now, are we going to, you know, plan a victory parade for Bo Nix, Rookie of the Year, for not taking any sacks and not throwing interceptions? No. No, you need more than that. But in this game, with how sloppy it was, with how much the offense was struggling for a rookie quarterback, it would have been easy, I think, for him to go out there and try to do too much. You know, hold on to the ball a little too long, put it in harm's way, force something. Didn't do that. He didn't do that. He kept the offense, I guess you can call it, on time, but he didn't set them up for, sped up the defense specifically in a position to fail. The only time that kind of happened was Tyler Bidet, who did sound like he flew back the same day, but not with the team, but flew back yesterday. So things must be okay for the back as far as his like big picture health. We'll see what happens. And the only turnover comes off of the Bidet injury fumble, and the Broncos bow their backs and not give up a touchdown there, which is awesome. Unbelievable defensive effort. But the Bo Nix avoiding sacks and avoiding turnovers really feels different than last season, right? Last year, if this was Russell Wilson, you maybe have a few more big plays down the field, maybe a little bit more efficiency passing. I mean, Wilson's had some good games in bad weather, but you're going to have sacks in there. You're probably going to have some turnovers. The fact that Bo Nix did not take any sacks and turnovers seems small, but really that's a big thing to hang your hat on and helps keep the offense on track, give them better chances, and plays the field position battle as well. So did want to give a shout out for Bo Nix for the composure that he showed to not get rattled when things were going horrific again. -7 yards in the first half. Passing is unbelievable. 60 total passing yards in a winning game in 2024 is unbelievable, but feels very Tebow-esque, unfortunately. But avoided the negative plays. Avoided the turnovers. Really, really, I think that's commendable and a really important aspect and underlying factor of this game, especially when you compare it to Aaron Rodgers. No turnovers from Aaron Rodgers. Fumbles, well, probably should have had a fumble, but the challenges, we can talk about that too if you guys want. But no turnovers from Rodgers on the scorecard. But 5 sacks and Denver's defense really dialing it up and getting a lot of free rushers and just, man, putting it on Rodgers. And we'll have to talk about that. But Troy comes in first, says, I love this young secondary and the new defensive line. Vance Joseph is killing it. I hope these lackluster Knicks reps pay off. It does. I mean, I don't know if you guys saw the Sean Payton post-conference, but he was asked if he had lost any confidence in Bo, and he quickly replied, heck no, and praised Bo Nix for his composure and confidence and everything. So good to see. I mean, obviously, we're going to need more, and most games, what we saw from the offense in this game is very rarely going to get it done in the NFL. It took an extraordinary defensive performance to get the win, coupled with pretty good special teams from the kicking teams outside the 50-yard miss from Lutz. But it was enough this game. Brandon Williams says, I'm tired of Rex Ryan still calls us orange slush every Sunday. Ah, you know, he's an interesting one, that's for sure. But there's a call for sure. Yeah, Rex, I enjoyed him when he was with the Jets, and it was like the antithesis of the Patriots. That was kind of a fun run. But, yeah, he's definitely on the other end of things now. Mark Schrader comes in and says, good morning, Nick. Good morning to you, Mark. Happy Victory Monday. Thank you so much for coming in and supporting the show. Hope you're doing well out there in Texas. I'm sure that you're excited that October is right around the corner and it's going to start cooling off, hopefully, for you as well. So, yeah, Bo Nix, not the best game. Money Moore also says, I was at the game. Love when the Broncos come east. Love it when you get to see a win. Beating the Jets, kind of funny entering this season. I think PFF ranked the rosters across the league, and they had the Jets as the fourth best roster in the NFL, and the Broncos were like 31st or 32nd. Goes to show anything can happen any Sunday, but also, you know, you're just projecting until you see the results on the field, especially for a team like Denver with a lot of turnover on the roster. You just don't know. So really just a good, tough team victory, and man, that flight back has to be a lot better. It sounded like it was a interesting time in West Virginia for the team, preparation-wise. Not sure every single player loved the West Virginia road trip, especially because the preparation, the practices and everything were very odd because of weather and everything. But hey, going back with the win makes all of that stuff a little less unenjoyable in hindsight. So good to see the Broncos come out and get the W. Good to see you, Money Moore. Appreciate you coming in. So yeah, Bo Nix again. That's my big takeaway. Are we going to completely discount this game because of the elements? Not completely. Obviously, Denver plays in an open-air stadium. There's going to be games and elements, especially playoffs. If Denver's ever hoping to be there with Nix, you're probably going to come up a game with cold, wind, rain, snow, something. And Bo Nix with his 10 and an eighth inch hands, which like 86th percentile for quarterback, really looked like he struggled with that now. I'm guessing this is something that's going to be a point of emphasis from Bo at some point. You know, a lot of wet towel over the football, trying to handle it and grip it and whatnot. But something he's definitely going to have to work on going forward. With that said, if Bo Nix had put up, you know, Jaden Daniels, who was C.J. Stroud numbers the first 3 weeks and had this game, I'd be like, oh, elements for sure. Both teams were struggling. Rodgers was, again, a little closer in a lot of throws, but It's this in combination with the struggles in the Seahawks and the Pittsburgh game where I don't think it's fair to completely write it off, but definitely put an asterisk by this game for Bo Nix for now. And if the next 4 games he looks like he did closer to the Tampa Bay game versus the Jets game, we can be like, okay, we'll forgive that one. It's an elements game, but I don't think it's fair to completely say, oh, this game didn't matter. It's completely just so weird element-wise. It was raining. It was balmy, but it wasn't – swirling winds. It was very visible on the field. I had somebody who was at the stadium that I knew said it was wet, but it wasn't horrific element game. So again, just worth keeping that in the back of our mind, because Denver is going to play open air games down the stretch. Kansas City open air, Denver obviously out in the elements. So we'll see what happens there. But again, Knicks does enough to keep the offense on track. Avoids the backbreaking. Oh man, I did not want to use that word. Avoids the catastrophic play on the offense, and does enough. But really, the story today. Well, two of the stories. The defense for sure. Got to go with that next. Denver's defense was amazing. I'm going to pull up the Broncos Jets box score here, just putting it into perspective. Denver was going against a future first ballot Hall of Fame quarterback. Aaron Rodgers was awesome last week. Thursday Night Football, an extra 3 days to prepare against the Patriots. He had two touchdowns, zero interceptions, almost 80% completion percentage, 280 yards. Everybody in Jets, whatever they want to call their fandom, feeling like, okay, this is what we signed up for. This is the team. This could be a playoff team for sure if Aaron Rodgers looks like this with the defense. Denver made Aaron Rodgers look pretty darn poor. Still ends up getting 225 yards on the day, 24 for 42. Not a ideal stat line for it, especially in wet. You don't want to have 40 dropbacks for sure, but Denver does enough there, and Rodgers to get 5 sacks in this game. He actually had a worse QBR than Bo Nix, probably because of the passing touchdown, but 31.8 there, 5 sacks for 41 yards. Not good, not good. Denver was bringing the heat. The Jets on the day ran a lot more plays than the Broncos, 70 to 56, more yards, 248 to 186, only 13 drives, 3.5 yards per play. They definitely threw the ball more effectively than Denver, even though it was a higher volume, 3.9 yards per attempt compared to 2.4 for Denver. You never see 2.4. That is wild. But the 5 sacks really stand out. And then Denver defense, after losing Alex Singleton, playing Justin Strenat out there, Christian Welch, and Cody Barton, losing Alex Singleton for the year, I thought the Jets were going to run very effectively against the Broncos. This is a team that's, they've told us they didn't really love their linebacker depth. They went out there and got Welch. They even mentioned before the season, not really loving the linebacker. Alex Singleton, 100% of defensive snaps entering this game, with Cody Barton, I believe, only played 55 entering this game. They were doing what they could to only have Singleton on the field and not play the other linebackers, going to a lot of 5-1-5 looks, just did not seem to love their linebackers. Well, the linebackers in the defensive line and the secondary, honestly, get it done in this game. They hold the Jets to 64 yards on 23 rush attempts and 2.8 yards per carry. That's pretty darn good running back duo out there. Braylon Allen had some good start this season. Breece Hall has killed the Broncos, back-breaking runs, especially those explosives. I feel like the last we played the Jets is the third year in a row, I believe, and Breece Hall has had a pretty awesome big run in each of those games. And if Denver does that in this game, they lose. How many explosive runs does Denver give up in this game? How many explosive runs? And what is an explosive run? It's a carry of 10-plus yards. Denver gives up 1 explosive run, 14 yards to Aaron Rodgers, 0 explosive runs to the running back. I mean, considering you are not in love with your linebackers, they said it. They're showing it on the field, too, leading up to this. Getting it done. The defensive line, the secondary, the linebackers, 0 explosive runs. And the stats for the day on those 2 running backs of the Jets. Breece Hall only gets 5 carries for 26 yards. Braylon Allen, 8 carries for 34 yards. Excuse me, I read the wrong line then. Breece Hall, 10 carries for 4 yards. I read Rodgers is in there. Rodgers was their best carrier. That's nice to see the script flip there for the Broncos. Breece Hall, 10 carries for 4 yards. What a defensive performance. The only thing you'd like to see maybe a little bit more of is playmaking, taking the ball away, maybe scoring some points, especially if the offense is going to be this green. Oh, we'll use the word green. Going forward, I don't expect them to be this limited, but that's the only complaint I have is they're not taking the ball away at a high clip, but that's above and beyond. Turnovers are very fickle and volatile. You can't really expect them. Daniel Elmore coming in 499 says, I love the way the defense is playing hung, but I believe Bo Nix will continue to improve. Hope so. again, I'm not going to make too much. I think we can say that Bo Nix was bad in this game without being like Bo Nix is a terrible quarterback and he's going to be a bust. It was a weird game. Jets have a good defense. It's still very early in his career, and the Broncos have so many holes on offense, especially in the pass weapon department. So is it all on Bo Nix? No. Was he bad in this game? Yes. Does that mean he's going to be a terrible quarterback for his career and he's not the Broncos option and they made a mistake taking him at 12? Absolutely not. Just again, not too high, not too low. It's one game, a weird game at that. We'll see how the how it looks as the sample size continues to improve. And so far, they're keeping their head above water. This East Coast trip, man, that's again, everything is a bad reference. They're staying alive, without a doubt, on the after starting 0-2 and to go 2-0 on the East Coast. That's a big boost for this team and their playoff chances and just playing meaningful football down the stretch. Coach Chris comes in $20 with the Big Lebowski profile picture there. Always love that. Says, as a Broncos fan, even though it was a tough game to watch, I'll take the win. Sean needs to open the field. Let Bo move. We send our thoughts and prayers to Bidet. Our defense is downright scary. Have a great day. Yeah, again, I just thank you, Coach Chris, so much for the $20 super chat and keeping the lights on as I run this thing solo on mine. Give me 1 second. Afford me a coffee sip. I have not had any yet this morning. It's starting to get a little, you know. All right, second sip. I lied. Maybe I should do one for each sack we had. But thank you so much, Coach Chris. We appreciate that. Yeah, the defense has been downright scary. And again, it's just, I am flabbergasted about, is that a negative connotation? I'm just shocked. I'm in awe about how good this defense has been for the Broncos. I mean, we do, Scott and I and all of us on the show, we like to do the prognostication, the projection. And I thought that looking at this defense on paper, this had the makings of potentially being a bottom 10 defense, maybe even bottom five if injuries bit them entering the season. I just thought that with how much the Broncos losing top draft capital via trades, trades up, trades for Wilson, trades for coaches, and the dead cap salary ramification, and just how much Sean Payton has utilized premier resources on the offensive side of the ball instead of the defense, I thought this defense was set up for failure as far as the personnel goes. I mean, you have one first rounder on there, just one first rounder on the defensive side of the ball. Really only two, maybe two and a half big contract guys. If you want to call the safety contract from Brandon Jones big, I mean, safeties aren't really getting big contracts right now, but outside of Surtain, who was got it right before the season, and Zach Allen, you're not really paying anybody huge dollars. I guess DJ Jones and Brandon Jones kind of as well, but it was a defense that a lot of pieces individually you weren't super stoked on as being like superstar elevating, you know, the Pro Bowl types. But right now, the collective of the Broncos defense is getting it done. I wrote an article last week about the Broncos defense, about how much cover one they're playing, how little explosive plays they're giving up, which you guys know me, everyone drink. Nick mentioned explosive plays and turnovers. Give me that toxicity grade. Thanks to Brian Billick for that advanced stat. But Denver not giving up explosives. They gave up some explosives in the pass game in this one. I think they gave up five passes of 20 plus yards, but no more. Not the backbreaking for sure. You don't want to give up those explosives, but no more. In Denver, after we still got two games tonight, but with two games, with four games in, Denver has the fourth best defense in football in EPA per play at negative 0.174. They're only behind the Chargers and the Vikings and the Seahawks. Now, granted, who you've played does make an impact on that. We'll see where they're kind of at week eight when the sample size is much more robust. Success rate, they're fourth as well, 38.1%. They're fourth against the pass in EPA per dropback, and they're eighth against the run. Who'd have thought after that first game where Kenneth Walker in that third quarter just destroyed them that Denver would be so good against the run? Top 10 in both rush and pass, and top four overall. Been a really pleasant surprise. And how are they getting it done? Well, schematically, obviously, Denver's being able to play cover one better than maybe anybody in the league, considering how much they are calling it. Right now, I know that I don't have the data with week four yet, but entering this game, Denver was tied for the second highest rate of cover one in football behind the Jags, who, while they're calling it, they're not great with it. Jags kind of circling the drain right now, folks. AFC South, gross. Man, who wants to watch to the Titans? Thank God they have two Monday night games, because Titans versus Dolphins tonight does not look very fun. But Denver getting it done on defense, the defensive line, the additions of, I mean, honestly, is it safe to say Denver is playing three interior guys on the back end that are better than two of their starters last season? I'm sorry to say, but DJ Jones playing a lot better football. Malcolm Roach, maybe his best game as a Bronco. I saw that 97 flash in a good bit. John Franklin Myers getting after it. What, Denver give up a 6th-round pick for him? What a good get. I'm sure the Jets were wishing they had him. And even like Jordan Jackson, small amount of reps, but been better there. Zach Allen. I don't know what PFF is watching, but Zach Allen to me has been one of the top five interior defensive linemen in football this season. One of the best interior pass rushers. I don't know what PFF is smoking, but despite him grading really bad, but he's been incredible this season. I think closer to, like, forget the Pro Bowl conversation. No doubt he's a Pro Bowler. He's like, should be at least in the select, you know, 5 to 10 in the all pro first and second team conversation. Dexter Lawrence, number one with a bullet. But after that, it's up for grabs. And Allen is playing unbelievable football, but they're getting it done. Cooper has been unbelievable. Benito has been getting after it as well. The linebackers, but we have a lot of really good one-on-one pass rushers. Benito's speed rush getting in the one-on-ones has been unbelievable. It's been like a trump card in a lot of plays, but for me, it's the secondary that is making the difference here. Now, you obviously have the straw that stirs the drink, as I like to say, in Patrick Surtain. But what the secondary is doing in coverage with McMillan and Moss as well, the tackling in the open field. Now, what happens when you're rushed? You're the heaviest blitz team in football and you're playing cover one. You're going to have one-on-ones in the backfield when you complete a pass. One broken tackle, and it is a race to the end zone. Denver has been, knock on wood, but so far they've been unbelievable tackling in the open field from that back seven and the defensive backs. So really just can't, we can go on and on about the defense. The five sacks, what they're doing up front, the not giving up explosive plays. The only complaint you can possibly make is that they're not turning the ball over at a crazy rate. But again, that is just, that's an unfair expectation. We can ask it. We got to ask it with what the offense has showed three of the four games so far. But, man, they're playing unbelievable football. Fox Family Breaks comes in. It's been a bit. Hope you're doing well. It says, Javonte and Jaleel looked better yesterday. I really hope we can build some run game momentum. Absolutely. That was, I wanted to wax poetic about the defense for a bit because they deserve it. But did want to come in and say that the Broncos looks like they may have found something on the ground. This was the first game this season where, luckily, the Broncos ran the ball more than they passed it. This is a team that feels like it should be set up to do that. I mean, that doesn't really happen in the NFL so much unless your quarterback is like a huge part of the run design as well, which Denver's still not doing so much. I'm a little bit surprised about, but Denver rushes the ball 31 times to 25 pass attempts. Where on the Jets on the other side, 42 dropbacks to 23. In the elements, that's not a winning formula. So I'm hoping that this is something we can see going forward. Javonte Williams, as Bidet goes down again, hopefully he is okay beyond football. I mean, hopefully he's okay, because that looked like a potential spinal injury. So we'll let you guys know when we know. But with Bidet going down, Javonte Williams out there makes a difference in this game. Now, not a huge volume, didn't really get a massive, you know, home run ball, but had a long of 16, I believe, his first explosive run of the season, 4.8 yards per carry. Jaleel McLaughlin had one explosive run of 10 yards, 5.1 yards per carry. Broncos 126 on the ground. That's enough. That's enough in this game. So really, really a good showing from the Broncos on the ground, especially considering how poor the passing offense was. It's Denver is going to continue to see stacked boxes until Denver can show that they can work the ball efficiently in the pass game, both vertically and horizontally. Right now, they're not really doing either. I think Denver has the second worst offense in football through the first four games and the second worst pass offense in football in EPA per play. So something that they'll have to get better on without a doubt. But if they can lean on the run game a bit, just be efficient. They don't have to be necessarily super explosive, although got to get some explosive somewhere, but the efficiency in this one from the run game was huge. And Javonta Williams. Pardon me, I had a cough there. Javonta Williams, by far his best game of the season. Didn't put the ball on the turf. Running hard. Actually had some good, like, patient, not patient runs, but some good runs where he had vision and made some good cuts and got upfield. Ran tough. It was awesome to see. Now, this is obviously a Broncos team that's probably going to be hunting for another running back in the offseason. Javonta Williams is a free agent at the end of the year. Jaleel McLaughlin's not the type of body type where you can give him 20 touches in a game and feel good about it. But for now, the room is what you have. And looks like Javonta Williams is, we'll see about Bidet's injury, but looks like Javonta Williams could be maybe refining some of that rookie season ability. So we'll see. And one thing I will say about Javonta Williams, while he's really struggled in the run game, he has been awesome for Denver in pass protection. If you get a chance, I mean, obviously you guys are here, so you're diehard crazy fanatics, but if you go back and watch the Buccaneers game, a lot of those big throws that Bo had outside the numbers, Todd Bowles of the Buccaneers is sending extra guys, and without Javonta Williams getting in there, planting himself like a stump and taking on a free rusher, those passes aren't getting completed. So while Javonta Williams has struggled in the run game, he's been a key part of the pass protection plan and giving Bo Nix a chance back there. So definitely good to see Javonta Williams have a good game here. They need him. They need him. Before the season, I said, is there one player who Denver absolutely needs to step up? That'd be an awesome storyline, but like has to be the guy. Probably obviously Bo Nix, but I said Javonta Williams. This is a team that needs to run the football effectively, need to help their quarterback out and play complimentary football. And Javonta did that. So hopefully we'll see that more going forward. Denver does play a very, very poor run defense coming up here. In the next game, they play the Raiders, who are the 7th worst rush defense in EPA per play entering this season. So we'll see how that plays out. They're 18th in success rate. So what does that mean? They're giving up explosive runs, folks. We need to get some explosive runs against the Raiders coming up here. I think that's who we play next. Is it that or is it the Chargers? Either way, riding high off the win. Unfortunately, again, Denver's offense did not look great. A lot of struggles there in the pass game, but willing to write it off some. But looking at the positives in this game, what can you say about the Denver defense that hasn't already been said? Jonathan Cooper playing at a high level, Nick Bonino, Jonah Ellis, awesome. And the secondary, I mean, I feel like there's a lot of, I don't want to pull the they don't know ball card, but people are expecting Riley Moss to be a shutdown, no catch given up cornerback when he's playing cover one, not a lot of help on the back end, and it's Patrick Surtain on the opposite side. He's going to give up some passes, folks, but with the aggressive style, he's doing all you could possibly ask for, and I'm really happy that that penalty towards the end of the game, that was a tough play, didn't cost Denver the game. And talking about penalties, last thing I wanted to talk about was the reffing in this game. Pretty poor. Pretty poor overall. Some really just bad calls. Now, I do want to criticize Sean Payton. How challenging can challenges be? One of them, Denver should have won. I don't even understand what a catch is anymore because Garrett Wilson, obviously, his knee comes down out of bounds. I don't know. But the first one, not good. I don't know what you're doing. To use a timeout and then use a challenge and burn two of them on the same play, terrible game management. Stuff that can lose you a football game. And when you're an experienced coach like Sean Payton, you have a young rookie quarterback, you can't have that. You got to be better, Sean Payton, with stuff like that. But the bad challenge on that first one, the second one they should have won, but then you're down to zero, and then you don't have one for the fumble that would have been returned for a touchdown. So that's Sean Payton. That's controlling the controllables on your end. The reffing terrible. The pass interference on Riley Moss in the end zone when they're both fighting for the football, head turned around and Moss makes a play on the football. No, they're not calling that on the Jets. Sauce Gardner does that 20 times a game. What the heck are we doing? You can't call that in that situation. The out of bounds catch, the challenge that was not reversed where Garrett Wilson's knee easily comes down out of bounds. what's going on? And then, I mean, I'm really glad Denver didn't lose the game, but at some point it needs to be the MO for officials where if there's a potential fumble that occurs, you let it play out. If there's a potential turnover that happens, you let the turnover play out on the field, and then it's going to get reviewed no matter what. Now, maybe they have to make an extra rule where it's like turnovers have to be definitive to be confirmed. Because I know like in challenges, a lot of times the call on the field stands, not as confirmed or anything like that, stands. And then if you had it where a turnover automatically played out, you would have way more turnovers because there could be some that are controversial, could go either way. And maybe if you put a rule in where if it is controversial, tie goes to the offense or whatever, and the offense retains the football. But to have the officials call the ball dead and then not only call it dead so Denver can't challenge it, they don't get the ball, there's no review because they don't have any challenges, but to blow it dead when Denver obviously has possession of the football off of the fumble, should have been fumble, and it should have been a defensive touchdown at that. I mean, unbelievably terrible, terrible play. If the ball is on the ground or if it's an interception, let it play out because it will automatically be challenged. It was a terribly reffed game. I don't think it was reffed well for the Jets either. I think Denver got the wrong end of the stick more than the Jets did, but it was a poor, poor reffed game. And that last one, especially, the NFL needs to do something about that. It looked like a fumble to me. Granted, I don't know what a catch is, so maybe I don't know what a turnover is either, because that Garrett Wilson one sure as heck looked like he landed out of bounds. But that almost lost Denver the game. Thank God it didn't. But the defense should have been even better than it was, because it should have been a fumble six. We talk about Denver needing more turnovers, maybe even scoring some points. Probably should have been. Probably should have been in this one. Unfortunately, Denver does not get hurt that way. I guess unfortunately, because that would have looked nice on the defensive stats. But yeah, that's one that the refs were putrid in this one. Much bigger part of the storyline than they should have been. And that, again, that one at the end, now it's again, Sean, you got to control the controllables. Sean Payton 0 for 2 on challenges. If you win one, you have an extra one in there, and it's not even a story. But the NFL should do something about it where if it's a turnover, you let it play out because then it's automatically reviewed. Same with like potential touchdowns. Like if it's close, call the touchdown and go to the booth. I don't know what we're doing here. Aaron Johnson coming in, $4.99 super, as we're about to get on out of here because I need more coffee. My throat's getting a little scratchy. He says, is Tyler's name pronounced Beatty or Bidet? He said it's Bidet. It's obnoxious. when he's hurt on the sidelines, it's Bidet. He went by Batty for a bit, but he did an interview this last week saying there's some family stuff going on that maybe wants to, some people in his family want to separate themselves from others. So when he was Batty before, now he is Bidet. So hopefully Bidet will be a little or healthy going forward. Again, the news was that he did fly back yesterday, not with the team, but on a commercial flight with a trainer later on. So positive there. Coach Chris, before we get on out of here, says, I think our weak link on offense is our wide receivers and tight ends. They aren't shedding tackles. They aren't generating any separation. Dulcich looks out of place and can't block. I had a good feeling about Kroll, but he's been absent. Yeah, Denver needs one thing. I was very wrong about the defense entering the season. I thought they'd be not good, and boy, they are making me look stupid. The sum of the parts are much better than the parts, but hey, man, the Eagles did that 2 years ago when they had 60 sacks or whatever without a lot of superstars on that team. Denver's getting it done with waves right now. They do have a superstar in Sertan, but man, incredible how good they've been. But on the other end, I got that one wrong. Coming into the season saying Denver might have the worst skill positions in all of football. Looks possible. Sutton's really the only one out there that I think is in terms of the wide receivers and pass catchers, one that you'd like be okay starting on most teams. Reynolds had some positives, but really he's better as like a 3 or 4 that can do some blocking stuff, especially, which is not the first thing you want to say about a wide receiver. He's a useful piece, but not what you want as your 1 or 2. God, not what you want as your 1 or 2. And you have nothing from the tight ends. Dulcet, if you're a receiving tight end, you need to be a good enough receiver that you're forcing teams to play light against you. And right now, teams don't respect Dulcich's athletic ability, receiving ability. They're playing him against linebackers. And at that point, you might as well just play another blocker in there. You might as well play Atkins or Troutman because you're not getting really much of a benefit defensive personnel-wise by playing Dulcich because he can't block. He's a horrific blocker. Josh Reynolds is a better blocker than our tight end and Greg Dulcich. So Sutton probably. But it's still a long season to go. Going to be plenty of opportunities for these guys. This is what happens when you have a team that's had so few top draft picks and a lot of dead cap space. There's going to be opportunities, and these guys are going to get multiple chances to get it done because you don't have many reinforcements or young emerging guys behind them that can take their place. So kind of is what it is out there, unfortunately. But it's luckily for the Broncos, you have all your draft picks this upcoming season and have the 10th most cap space, I believe, as well entering next year. So personally, I'd like to use some of that cap space right now to lock up Jonathan Cooper. But other than that, yeah, we'll see what happens. Michael Ronquillo says, great show today, Nick, on Broncos for Breakfast. But go, Bo Broncos. Go, Michael. Go, everybody. Happy Victory Monday. You guys were awesome. Thank you so much to everybody coming in. Jasmine, Michael, Quentin Caldwell, of course, Troy Boer, Brandon Williams, Mark Schrader, Money Moore, Daniel Elmore, Coach Chris a few times, Fox Family Breaks, Aaron Johnson, of course. So much support. Love you guys. It's always good when we're on a victory Monday. Denver 2-2, going 2-0 on the East Coast road trip. I mean, who saw that coming? I think anybody after, especially that Steelers game, anybody who's calling that, we would call delusional. But hey, man, the NFL season, the one thing I said on that Monday show, following that terrible Steelers game is that that version of the team we saw on the field against the Steelers is going to pick top five. But they are not resigned to be that team that we saw those first 2 weeks. They can grow, they can change, they can evolve. This is a team that's evolving and has an identity on that defensive side. Maybe we can find something on the offense. The run blocking also didn't give credit to the offensive line. No sacks given up. Sacks are as much a quarterback stat as an offensive line, but still no sacks. And some good run blocking as well. I can't believe we didn't talk about the offensive line. So great win. Denver 2-2. They have life. They have a chance. If the season ended today, they'd be in the playoffs, according to Tankathon. So stop the count. Stop the count. Sorry. But no, the Broncos, man, it feels good to be riding high off this one. They survived Bo Nix's and the offense's struggles, but things should change. The schedule should get a little easier defensively going forward. I mean, they played four of the top 10 defenses in football, definitely four top half of the league defenses in football. And now they're going to go week five at home, back-to-back home games against divisional opponents who are also sitting there at 2-2. I mean, guys, this, I don't want to say it's the season these next 2 weeks, but you go 2-0 in these next two games, we got a live one. And you push those teams down a bit as well. So we got a chance. So that's all you can ask for, especially this team just having a chance. So awesome to see Denver gets the win in a slop fest, 10-9. Defense gets after it, finding the game on the run game. Bo Nix avoids the catastrophic play. We'll see what happens next week. Have a great one, everyone. Make sure you're following me on Twitter at NickKendallMHH. Also follow us at Mile High Huddle. We're on Facebook.com/MileHighHuddle and Facebook.com/MileHighHuddle. Mile High Huddle Pod. See, I'm starting to run out of gas here as well. And as the ticker says there underneath, please subscribe, like, and share over on YouTube. Shout out to everybody who came in today. Have a great rest of your day. Always a little sweeter with a Broncos victory for sure. Continue to choose kindness and compassion. Go Broncos.
Head on over to MileHighHuddle.com for all things Broncos. Good morning, Broncos country.
New Balance recently announced the addition of All-American Cooper Flagg to the NB family, joining Cameron Brink and an elite player roster in the brand's mission of growing the game with the next generation of athletes. In part of New Balance's ongoing commitment to supporting athletes off the court, the Boston-based brand plans to work with Cooper on community initiatives in his home state of Maine. To shop the two-way V5, Hesse Low V2, and all New Balance basketball products, visit newbalance.com today.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours.
CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.